It's a joy to be with you again. It's such a joy to be here and see you all now. So many of you I know. So thank you for your prayers. I know you've been praying for me. Going to look into this passage in the Gospel according to Luke. It's a very moving story. Pastor Mark has read the passage. So just before we look in there, let's ask the Lord to illuminate our hearts and our minds. Lord, speak so we, thy servants, heareth. May we hear your word. May we obey it. May we live it out in our lives, and thereby we will be transformed to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen. The story here really concerns an elderly couple. We have this moving story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. They're very elderly. They think they'll never have children. And yet, in the Lord's graciousness, they have a son. That son is John the Baptist. John the Baptist, remember, was the one who came and prepared the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a great honor that God has conferred on them. I'd like you to try and feel how they feel. Here's Zechariah. We read in Luke 5, sorry, in Luke 1 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So you have here Zechariah, the priest, and Elizabeth, who's descended from the Levites. And here's this elderly couple. And they're no doubt coming towards the end of their lives. We've had 400 silent years from the ending of the Old Testament. Chronologically, the end of 2 Chronicles is the end of the Old Testament era. 2 Chronicles is a very important book. It goes from sort of Adam and Eve all the way to coming back from exile. Very crucial book. And then we have, of course, the last of the prophetic books, Malachi. And then we have 400 years of nothing. That's a long time. We have probably one little dividing page in our Bibles, but 4 centuries where God had not spoken through any prophets, where nothing extraordinary had happened. And suddenly, after 400 years, you have this old man, this elderly priest, thinking, you know, they had no children, he and his wife, they're elderly, no children. That was a bit embarrassing in those days. And you can just imagine as they sit in their home, and Zechariah says, well, I've been chosen by lot to burn the incense in the temple. This was a rare occasion. The priests were divided into 24 divisions. Abijah's division was the eighth. There were only 4 divisions came back from exile. We know that from Ezekiel 2:36. They then divided those 4 into 24 again, and each was on duty twice a year. And you got, so basically, 2 1-week slots. So it was quite a rare privilege. So here's Zechariah and Elizabeth, and saying, we're getting old, we got no children, you know, we're getting to the end of our lives, perhaps, and people might have looked at the old priest Zechariah as he hobbled along to the temple, perhaps. And then what happens after 400 years? He's going in to offer the burning of incense, a great privilege. And then what happens? The angel Gabriel appears to him and says, you're going to have a son. This son's going to be John the Baptist. So the whole course of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is now beginning, and it begins with this elderly priest, Zechariah, that thought his best days were over. And yet, look how God acts. So if you sort of step into side of Zechariah's shoes, you can think how amazing God is. Sometimes God does indeed answer our prayers exceedingly and abundantly all that we can ask or think. Zechariah's name means God remembers. God remembers. And you have this contrast here between this horrible King Herod, because we read in the days of Herod, King of Judah, he was a horrible person. And then we have this priest, Zechariah. Do you notice in the Bible how many times God uses ordinary people, ordinary nobodies? And that should encourage us in our Christian lives. Here again is this elderly couple thinking, well, we didn't do much. We were righteous. We read in Luke 1:6. They, Zechariah and Elizabeth, were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blamelessly. They might have thought, well, we've lived this blameless life, we've done our best, but we haven't got a son and we're now old and we can't do much for the Lord. We're kind of nobodies. And then suddenly, 400 years of nothing, bang, the Messiah is coming. And Zechariah, your son, is going to be the one that heralds his coming. To go from this discouragement in life and feeling life is hard and tough and life's been a bit of a disappointment to God Almighty sending Gabriel to tell you what's going to happen. How amazing is our God? No doubt they've been praying. They've been praying, verse 7, and they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. He goes in, and in verse 11, we read, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the angel of incense. Verse 11. We have to remember that we think there were angels showing up all the time in the Bible, but it was very rare for an angel to appear. They appear on very few occasions. Again, imagine Zechariah in the temple. He's probably thinking, well, this is the last time I'm going to do this incense thing because I'm getting so old. And he's thinking, wow, what a privilege this is. And then he's been faithful, he's prayed, and then suddenly he sees Gabriel, God's main messenger, appearing. It's just amazing. You talk about God answering prayer. Then we kind of think, what type of people does God use? His prayer was heard, his prayer was responded to you. And God was at work all the time. Zechariah thinking, I haven't done much. God saying, I've chosen you to introduce and bring into the world John. John means the Lord is gracious. He's the first prophet in 400 years. And we know that in the end, Herod's son had him killed. But Zechariah's name, meaning the Lord remembers. Elijah was one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. And then we have Zechariah, whose son John was going to be the first. And remember, he was said there was none greater than him. So things have started. Gabriel's name means mighty one of God or powerful one of God. And God, we're reminded as we think about this, how powerful God is. God is always working. He's always working, fulfilling his plan and his purpose. In your life, God is working. You might not think much is happening, but God is working his plan and his purpose. We see here that the origins, and this son was going to be, John the Baptist. You talk about again, thinking you have a son, and look what that son does. We are told he shall be great, verse 15, in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. That's an interesting passage, isn't it? Filled with the Holy Spirit before he was born. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, one of the greatest Old Testament prophets, turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people of the Lord. So, wow, Zechariah's thinking, I thought I'd never have a son. And now I'm told God's main messenger comes from heaven, stands in the temple and says, you are going to have a son, and this is what he's going to do. And you just contrast that when Zechariah woke up that morning thinking, my life's a bit humdrum, to when he went to bed that night, he couldn't even talk, could he? Thinking, this is so incredible. We see John the Baptist, obviously, his origins are starting from the temple and moving out. And then with Jesus, remember, he kind of started outside the temple and then in his ministry ended up ministering at the temple. So messages from God's angels are very rare. In Daniel 10, messages about the end time events are given by Gabriel. Remember, the birth of the Messiah, Jesus, is a signal of we are in the last days. So, God, the angel's greeting is it's like a kind of mini oracle of salvation. Remember, John the Baptist, but ultimately it was Messiah is coming. How the God's people of the Old Testament had waited. When is the Messiah coming? When is he coming? When is he going to come? Lord, 400 years and nothing, no prophecies, no oracles, nothing. Lord, have you forgotten your people? No. And then it is this ordinary priest who gets the revelation, who gets the message, and who is going to have that son. So, what a model he is for us. But even then, we see with God's great servants, sometimes there's always a bit of weakness there. Verse 18, Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is well stricken in years. That's quite obvious. If an angel says you're going to have a son, but hang on, we're really old. We're really old. So this can't happen. And then verse 19, and the angel answering, said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until that day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And so here you have Zechariah. He sees Gabriel, who's come from God, and he says, you're going to have a son. He says, well, how can that happen? You've got to trust that if an angel shows up, and it's not any angel, it is one of the chief angels, Gabriel, and he tells you, in the temple, it had to be an angel because no one else was allowed to be in there, that you should take his word. But Zechariah, he just cannot believe it. My life is a kind of dull routine, he thought. God hasn't said anything. And now I'm told I'm going to have a son, and this son's going to be John the Baptist. So he has this doubt, and he is told, you'll not be able to speak. Imagine how the people felt outside. Because, verse 21, and the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. Of course, an angel has showed up. They're probably thinking, well, he's making the most of his last time he's going to burn incense, and he wants to just kind of be there and enjoy this last moment as his life and in ministry comes to an end. He's probably sad. But no, he's seen an angel. This doesn't happen. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they did perceive that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. Again, imagine how I would have felt. I'm going to have a son. I've seen Gabriel, but I can't speak. I think he used some pretty wild hand gestures. But look how God works. Look how he works in our lives. Look how he deals with us. Nothing is over until God says he's over. Doesn't matter how old you are or how ordinary you feel, God has a plan and purpose for your life. God uses ordinary people to achieve his goals. God uses the weak things of this world to confound the wise. It's interesting, God had been silent for 400 years. Then God speaks through Gabriel, and then Zechariah is silent. All seems so topsy-turvy, doesn't it? But the hero of this is God, God working in his ways. And when Jesus is born again, they thought Messiah was going to come like a mighty conquering hero, and Jesus comes as a baby, born to a peasant couple, placed in a feeding trough. And there's that little baby with a bunch of animals. And that is Messiah, God's anointed one. That is God come in the flesh. And when later Herod tried to kill baby Jesus, which is about probably a year old, remember, they had to flee to Egypt. And there goes the poor couple, Mary, a teenager, Joseph, poor, and a donkey, and they're heading off to Egypt. You see, there goes God in the flesh. That little baby crying is God in the flesh. God veiled in human flesh. That's the means by which God will save sinners. It seems incomprehensible. And then, but that we know how God works in his ways and in his time. So for Zechariah, nothing's going right, is it? And then he's struck dumb, and so probably couldn't explain to his wife what was going to happen. And we see then God working in his time and in his ways. We do read, it came to pass as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among the men. How many times, I wonder, did she pray, Lord, please give me a child, give me a child? Probably all through, from the moment she got married as a young woman, she had prayed for a son, on and on and on. And then comes a point where it's now not going to be possible, but all those prayers were answered. All those prayers were heard by God. And it says, we are not to give up. We are to pray and not give up. And it's interesting, at this particular prayer meeting, when Zechariah was in the temple praying and offering incense, which was basically praying, that basically God actually showed up, which again is so, so incredible. So when God works in our lives, others are going to notice, and it's going to have an effect. We cannot measure sometimes how God will use us, but we trust him for the results. And you know the story of John the Baptist. I won't go on, but you know the ministry he had was an amazing ministry. And what a privilege for him. Remember when pregnant Elizabeth met pregnant Mary, remember, the babe leapt in her womb. That's incredible, isn't it? The babe responded. John the Baptist responded to meeting Jesus, and he hadn't even been born because he was full of the Holy Spirit. It's just an incredible story. As I apply this to our lives, again, look at the piety. Does it matter how we live? Does it matter how we live? Of course it does. What type of home was John the Baptist born into? Well, what kind of home was it? Well, as Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were godly. We're told they kept all the commandments. They were blameless. They lived. They were faithful servants of God. So what kind of home was John born into? It was a home that knew sorrow because she thought she was barren, which was a terrible thing in those days. I mean, it's very difficult, obviously very difficult for anyone even now, but then it was so hard and difficult. It was seen as being somehow out of God's favor. So John was born into a home that knew sorrow, barrenness, and then a home, perhaps there was just that sigh of disappointment. You know, we haven't done much. We haven't really done much. You know, as I say, Zechariah hobbling along as an elderly priest, and maybe he's seeing all the younger priests, and yeah, they're so young, I've not done much. A humble home, a home of prayer, a home of commitment, and that's the home John grew up in. And he was there to get the people ready to listen to Jesus, but his parents had nurtured him and brought him up to follow God. So it is incredible. Zechariah, meaning the Lord remembers, but Zechariah, he himself had forgotten. So we're dealing with a God of action, a God who has a plan, and a God who will work out that plan in all situations, and we should trust. Jeremiah 29, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I know my plans I have for you. And God is always working in our lives. We have to realize that and understand that, even if we don't feel like it. It's like flying on an aircraft. When you're flying high and you're looking down, assuming there's no clouds, it seems like you're not going anywhere. The plane is so high, you look out and it's like you're still. You say, this plane isn't going very fast. And, you know, if you open the door and put your hand out, I think you would realize it is going very fast. But it doesn't feel like, especially if you're on a long flight and you're not watching a film or reading and just looking out the window, it just seems as if it's taking a long time. And it's the same in our lives. You might think, well, my life is very ordinary, very boring. I'm not doing much. I'm not much of anything, really. I'm just a kind of very average Christian believer. But we cannot perceive. If you're godly, you're faithful, God will use you greatly to change the world. Look at the disciples. They were just fishermen, ordinary people. But look how God turned the whole world upside down using those disciples. Another analogy from a theater. You know, you have a play in a theater, and a play is often divided into different scenes. And between the scenes, the curtain will come down, the lights will go off, and the stagehands will rearrange the scenery. Then the lights go back on. I can remember being in a school play, and we did three nights, and one night I forgot to even go on the stage. So for the whole scene, I forgot to go on, and I just wasn't there. And it's the same in our lives. Sometimes in our life, and I think it's same for Zechariah and Elizabeth, God just kind of puts down the curtain, the lights go off, and we feel nothing's happening. And what he's doing is he's just changing the scenery and changing things, and then the lights go on, the curtain goes up, and we go on into act two of our lives, or act three. Zechariah and Elizabeth, I think they had a long time of just the curtains came down, the lights went off, and life just seemed to be getting worse and worse, more disappointing. We haven't done much. We haven't got children now. We're getting older. And then look what God did in the end. God is amazing. God will answer our prayers exceedingly and abundantly, all than we can ask or think or imagine. That is the God that we serve. That is our Heavenly Father. And we should take great joy from Zechariah, who just could not believe what had happened to him. God is great. I hope all of us here know this God. I hope we all have repented of our sin, and we are trusting Jesus Christ for our salvation, because if we're not, there is no plan but everlasting misery, and misery in this life as well. But I want to end on a positive note. Remember John the Baptist, who was martyred, remember, and Jesus, remember, who went to that cross. This is the coming of the Messiah. What an honor again for Zechariah. He ends up introducing the whole coming of the Messiah. I mean, it's incredible. The whole coming of Christ to the cross, and to die on the cross, you know, to pay the penalty for sin. And Zechariah was the one that introduced all that, that was used by God to bring that, humanly speaking, into motion. It's a profound story. And the Lord Jesus, you know, as he hung there on the cross, we think of his mother, Mary, same thing. And that's another sermon. But Mary thought perhaps she wasn't much in the world. And look how God honored her. Remember her piety. Remember how committed she was, how godly she was. She had found favor with God. And she has to stand at the cross and see her son writhe in agony and bear the penalty for sin. So we have a great Lord Jesus who loved us so much. Remember, God so demonstrated his love. It's a demonstration of God's love, the cross. It's God saying, I love you, and this is how much I love you. Send my one and only son to pay the penalty for your sin. We have to make sure we take that seriously and we are trusting the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. Lord, we thank you for your truth. Please, Lord, impress this truth on our hearts and minds, we pray. In the Savior's name, amen.
We will conclude by singing Psalm 134. Could you, Jonathan, could you just pass me Psalm book, please? There is one there. One second. That's all right, I've got the right one, so I can take that. Thank you. Just wanted to double check. Thank you. Psalm 134. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye that his attendants are. Even you that in God's temple be and praise him nightly there. Your hands within God's holy place lift up and praise his name. From Zion Hill, the Lord thee bless, that heaven and earth did frame. We stand. Leave place, lift up and praise your name. From Zion's hill, be blessed, that heaven and earth did frame. Ms. Ramau, could you come and close this part of the meeting, please?
Let's pray, dear beloved. Heavenly Father, thank you for the way that you have spoken to us about this couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth, that in their most waiting period of having a child, there seems to be no answer to their prayer. And in the midst of your own plan and purpose for their lives, your plan was expressed through the work of your own planning and not to men's, to the, not to this couple's expectation. And yet, we ourselves have experienced these things. in our own waiting time for your will to be done in our lives. So we come before you with hearts that sometimes struggle with the waiting period of life, much like Zacharias and Elizabeth. We confess our tendency to doubt your promises when circumstances seem impossible or when our prayer seems to go unanswered. And it's a very difficult time for them as well as for us when we are in these circumstances. Help us, Lord, to take this lesson read before us by your servant. To remember the truth of your word and make this be our lesson, that you know the plans you have for us, plans for our welfare and not for evil. Give us a future and a hope. Give us the grace to trust you in your perfect timing. Looking forward that regardless of our failures and sinfulness, you can turn everything for good to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We'll sing Psalm 15 next as we move into time of breaking bread together. Psalm 15. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbour, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbour. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoureth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Shall we stand?
And as he thinketh in his heart, so doth he truth express. Who doth not slumber with his son, nor to his friend doth hurt, nor yet against his neighbor doth take an ill report. In whose eyes all men are despised, but those that God to fear, he honoureth and changeth not. Sing deep swell. His point was not to sorry, nor take it. Will he against the goodness who doth us shall never live in.
Please be seated. Quite important principles in this verse, aren't they? He that walketh uprightly, he that backbiteth not with his tongue. So easy, isn't it, to speak about others behind their backs. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoureth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. How important it is that we are men, women, and children of our word. When we say we will do something, we will do it, even if it costs us. That's the man that God will honour. And whenever we say something to another person, that we will do it, it is as if we say it to the Lord. And when we break our word, we break our word to the Lord. And we need to be people, aren't we, whose yes is yes, whose no is no. People who are reliable. Those are the people that God will honour. You read then from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the blood, body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do pray that we would take seriously these admonitions here contained, these warnings in thy word, to examine ourselves. And please, Lord, help us to examine ourselves. Do we backbite? Do we talk about people behind their backs? Do we tell people that we will do something and then walk away and forget what we've said? Do we not care when we say we will do something? Do we not care that the words that we've uttered have been uttered before thee? Are we people whose words cannot be trusted? Lord, please forgive us. We want to be people who the Lord will honour because we honour thee. Help us, we pray, each one of us, to examine ourselves and to seek forgiveness where we have failed and look to thee for grace to help in the future. Bless us now as we take the emblems of the bread and the wine that are to us our reminder the Lord Jesus died on the cross for his chosen people. When we take those emblems, we remind ourselves that we are one such of that great throng. So bless each one, we pray, whether we partake together or whether
we stand by and watch others. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body. And please give thanks for the bread."
This word, Lord, I love thee. This humble ourselves before you in this mess. Serious reflection of remembering who Christ is as a man to observe what you have told us to remember the great sacrifice to us. So even as we now partake of this bread, you are teaching us to remember that he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Let's take it together.
Reading from verse 27. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Please give thanks for the wine.
Thank you, Lord, that as we partake of the shot, surely we are reminded that there's power in the precious blood of our Lord Jesus. That's not an excuse. It is the reality of our sin. So that if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. And do that, the truth. But we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. In the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's do it together.
We'll finish with the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Shall we stand?
Oh, God, won't he make me unto thine impostures my soul did not to all God. I fear not, for thou art with me.
Please remain standing for the blessing, which comes from Numbers chapter 6. Blessing given to Aaron to pass to the people of Israel. Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast put the name of the Lord Jesus Christ upon us, the people of the Israel of God. And we pray that the blessing that thou hast declared to the people of Israel may be true for us. Bless each one of us, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask, and for his sake. Amen.